Have you ever thought about that while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb? I did. I actually bought two homes in Albuquerque that I Airbnb'd, and it was just an amazing investment, honestly, because, you know, as you are accruing value in your property, you are also making money on the Airbnbs. It's amazing. So your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have. It's an award-winning tequila. It's infused with real juice, with real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. It's real. So you need like two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail. Hey, you know how I'm always trying to keep my house parties exciting? New cocktails? Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's something that's going to flip the script.
Okay.
All right, 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Yeah. Tell me more about this, right? Oliver Hudson.
Yeah, 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila that's infused with juice from real fruits. You only need two to three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
Wait a minute. I think I know what brand you're talking about. You know why?
Yeah.
Because 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend. It's female founded.
That's right.
See?
Sounds
See
like
how I know? Something I can get behind.
I know. Well, there's a good story behind that for sure. Listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila. Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling revelry.
No, no.
Sibling revelry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling revelry.
That's good.
What happened? Oh my God.
But she did that all by herself.
You did? Let me see. Look at me. Wow.
It's like really
That's good.
That, the boys are going to make fun of my makeup.
So what? Here, take this mic. The boy, you're worried about the boys making fun of your makeup?
Yeah.
Why?
Because Dylan always says, like, why do you do makeup?
I know, but you're a young girl who likes to sort of experiment and put fun makeup on. There's nothing wrong with it. And here's what I'm going to tell you, okay? You listening? Don't listen to what people say, okay? If you love it and you feel good and you think it's cool, then you just move on about your day. And if they have a problem with it, guess what? That's their problem. That's not your problem. So if you go into your brother's room and they make fun of your eye makeup and they make fun of, like, oh my God, you know what? You just smile and say, you know what? Peace. Give them the, flip them the bird. You know what the bird is?
No.
This. Honestly, don't worry about that.
Yeah,
they can't make you feel bad. Remember that.
Yeah, but like Dylan is going to make fun of me and like watch all my TikToks and it's so annoying.
Well, first of all, you're not public on TikTok. You know, so
of course not.
But how does Dylan see your TikToks?
Bodhi's fine. He won't say anything, but like I'm coming. Bodhi won't say anything because, like, he's my brother. But Dylan always makes fun of me. And I didn't accept him on my TikTok. I deleted him on my TikTok. And Ben and Dylan share it on, like, they screenshot it. And then they just watch it. And it's so annoying.
Yeah, but you're creating videos for yourself and for fun, right? And so, you know, if you're making videos, are you doing it just for yourself or are you doing
myself?
Those? But you want people to see them, right? You're doing fun videos for people to watch. Who cares about what people think? This is what I'm saying. you just go do you and don't worry about what anyone thinks. As long as you're having fun and you love what you're doing, whether it be eye makeup or whether it be singing or dancing or whatever, then screw everyone else.
Okay.
All right. Later. Love you. All right. Started that podcast off with a little daddy-daughter session. She came. She did her makeup. Now, by the way, we don't let her out of the house with makeup, to be clear, you know, but we let her have fun. She's 8 years old, and she does a kick-ass job, by the way. She comes into our room sometimes in like...
I'm like, did you have like a professional makeup artist in your room that I don't know about?
Oh, hey, what are you doing here?
Nothing.
I was just talking and you interrupted me, but we'll talk about that after. We'll get into that. Yeah, no, I know. It's like you shit hair and makeup and wardrobe, go into her room and she comes out. It's crazy. She has this like insane sort of, I guess, knack for putting shit together.
No, it's like a natural talent for like style and makeup.
Yeah, and then she does her makeup. I'm like, oh my God, who did that? And she's like, I did. She's 8, you know? And so she created this whole like sort of, what would you call it? Like a wing effect?
Mm-hmm. Winged eyeliner, yes.
Is that what it's called? Winged?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
but
know
But not
that.
Like a winged effect.
Well, I was pretty fucking close, given the fact that I don't really know what I'm talking about.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, but we don't let her leave the house like that, just to be clear. But we let her explore and have fun and play. And then, of course, she's worried about, you know, her brothers and her brother's friends laughing at her, which, of course, they do. It's natural.
Yeah. Which, of course, they do.
Yeah. Natural. You know, it's interesting. Children. Finding that balance of letting them grow up and also having to rein their asses in.
Total. Very, very fine line, but...
Yeah, there is.
But I think it's important to have... a balance, boundaries, no. But yet also not, you know,
yeah, but you
suffocate
just,
them.
Totally, but you just never know where, on what side of that line you're walking. It's just sort of, you're just making guesses.
Yeah, instinct, you know, and you go by.
The kid itself.
The kid plays a huge part. Some kids like really crave and need boundaries. I mean, most kids, but need it more than others.
Yeah. So to recap our week, you know, I think we should maybe do like week caps. Maybe it's called week caps with Oliver and Aaron, or Aaron and Oliver, since you can go first.
Okay.
Like week caps.
I got it.
No.
So would it be spelled with a K? And
I think, but then it could also be like we are recapping week caps, but it's also week caps.
Caps.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just, my brain works like that.
I like it.
We were in Albuquerque where I'm working and Aaron came to visit. We just got back last night and staying on this sort of kids theme, you know, when you're away and then dealing with your kids sort of when they're away, it's hard, you know, because you're not there dealing on the day to day. And I got into it with Wilder and then I apologized. You know, but I was just hot. I got hot. You know, I got angry because, you know, he messed with his sister. You know, he messed with his sister. He picked her up and I think he was playing and then he like threw her in a bush and she scraped her leg really badly. And by the way, she didn't tattle. I want to say that. Like she just said, oh, I've said, what's wrong? She goes, I've been crying. She didn't say, and then I was prodding and then she explained it to me. And the problem is, you get a pass. Like, he's a teenager. Hormones are happening, I guess. But, you know, he puts her in the bushes and she's crying. And then you don't really say, oh, hey, are you okay? I'm sorry. And that just threw me for a loop. I'm talking a lot right now, but I want to explain myself to you and the audience. Because we're dealing with siblings, okay, and sibling relationships, which is crucial to me. When I see the kids not getting along, it like devastates my soul. It hurts. And I think I'm yelling at my younger self in a sense. And we might have talked about this before. Have we not? I don't know. But because I was not nice to Kate. You know, I was a dick brother for the most part. I didn't have the capacity to love, though. You know, I was dealing with divorce and all my own shit. So, I wasn't there for her. And I would trip her and, you know, she would annoy me. And, you know. And so when I see Wilder, the kids, doing that to my little ladybug, I don't know. Maybe it triggers me, you know. With me, I'm triggering myself with my younger self.
It makes sense.
And I just don't like it, and I just lost
it. Also, I think we are super lucky that all three of the kids, most of the time, like, really get along. Like, not only do they not get along, but they have like a blast together. Mm-hmm. And just recently, for some reason, we've kicked into a stage of them fighting a little more, annoying each other a little more, just this little like tit for tat like stuff. Mm-hmm. Whereas we had it good for so long. Like, I mean, really great. And still, I mean, there's obviously moments of laughter and they get along. And
yeah,
the boys have each other and always did. They were always a team. I think their personalities, you know, age-wise, all that kind of stuff really mattered. And it was super cohesive. I mean, they were always like best friends and had each other and it was amazing. And then Rio, they just kind of took care of her and they were always like sweet. And even when she was a toddler and, but hey,
we
now,
watched old videos and they're like, we try to show the kids like, would you look at you guys?
Yeah.
You're all cuddling. You're all on the couch holding each other. And now, like, this morning, you know, Rhea's just my little cuddle girl. She's just she's just so sweet. And she gets in bed. You know, I'm like, hanging out with Bodhi. I wake him up, and I get in bed with the kids. And she sort of cruises in bed, and he's like, get out, like, kicking her off the bed. I'm like, God damn it.
I know.
Don't you fucking touch her. That's what I'm thinking. And I'm just like, God, what's wrong?
I know. Well, it's hard because she's being sweet and like wants to love on her brothers, and then when they reject that, that's what drives me crazy.
But they also,
she can be annoying. She can do her little, you know, she knows how to push their buttons.
She does. She can be manipulative, and that's what the boys say. They're like, Dad, you don't get it. Like, she's trying to get us in trouble. Like, she's saying she wants a kiss and a hug, but she does not. She just wants to annoy us.
Right.
And that's not lost on me. I get that.
Yeah. No,
like, I understand that, you know.
But they've got to, like, you know, they got to know when it's happening, because honestly, like, I think what it is for us too is like when they aren't getting along and we see them fight, it's such new territory and like shocking and also heartbreaking. We're like, wait, what? You guys like love each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think generally they do. They don't like despise each other. Like a lot of kids and brothers and siblings and sister. I mean, I, you know, and all those stories, of course. But also like the boys being, you know, 14 and almost 11 or 12, you know, Bodhi, it's like they're at a very like kind of make fun of each other stage and annoy each other, but it's still like fun and fun, and they hang, and like Bodhi's hangs with all Wilder and his friends, and that's...
Well, that's the thing is, you know, Bodhi's always been hanging with Wilder and his friends, but that separation has to be coming relatively soon. Once Wilder is driving, you know, and he's now off and doing his thing, Bodhi, I'm sure, will be hanging as well. But, you know, and then that, there's a little separation that's going to happen with them.
Totally. I know. I was reading one of the emails, I think, that Allison sent us, but just talking about brothers and siblings and fighting and how to kind of manage it. And, you know, we're talking about our kids kind of fighting right now. It's barely anything. But I always thought, like, God, what if they didn't get along and they really were at each other? Like, how would we, you know, go at that as parents? And I think, you know, the truth is it comes usually out of some sort of like competition, right? Or, you know, for attention, for, you know, food, who's getting something first, you know, who's better at something, or, you know, all that kind of stuff. And there's a little bit of like healthy, you know, competition and that kind of stuff. But if it gets to a place, it's almost like, you know, I don't know what I would do, like sit them down and like, you know.
I don't know. That's a tough one. You know, that's a tough one. You just got to be like, look, you guys are brothers. And that's what I say to the boys sometimes. I'm like, at the end of the day, this is what you have. These are
like
the people
for life.
For life. This is the person that will be here with you forever, hopefully. But it's also primal. You know, we can't forget we're part of the animal kingdom. You know, so when you have siblings fighting, there's a hierarchy, a pecking order, mm-hmm. an alpha that is mm-hmm. being established. And sometimes mm-hmm. it's the older and sometimes it's the younger. And by the way, sometimes it's the girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oftentimes fucking Rio can, you know.
Oh, yeah.
She can step it up. But yeah, there's that alpha domination that is happening.
And it's always the like, you know, they're vying kind of for like, you know, who we're going to see as the winner or the right one or the victim or mm-hmm. because it's this constant like, you know, like we're the refs or something in the game mm-hmm. of like life for them because mm-hmm. they're always kind of coming to us to be, you know, they did this or they did that or, yeah.
I know. But at the end of the day, like it matters. Siblings matter. And this show is called Sibling Revelry, even though that you and I have sort of taken over for the time being. But it's an important bond to try to nurture, and you can use your past experiences
yes.
with your sibling to try to inform your kids and how they should be with their siblings. You know, I obviously had a very different upbringing than you did. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, I came from the divorced family, and then Katie and I were sort of on our own for a minute, and I never established a real sort of tight connection with my sister because the life around me was chaotic. My environment was chaotic. I had no stability to sort of be quiet and sit and nurture some sort of a relationship, even from an instinctual place, because we were young.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wyatt comes along, or Boston comes along. He's a step. You know, then Wyatt comes along, and I'm 10 years older than he is. So it was a very sort of different sibling upbringing.
Oh, yeah, who you are at what age, that matters.
Whereas you was like, you know, beautiful family, boy and a girl, you know.
I was the older one. He was like my baby.
He was your baby. You used to dress him up.
Oh, I talked for him. I don't think he talked until he was like 9. I was literally like his like
mouthpiece.
Agent and his mouthpiece. I dressed him up and girls, you know, did everything. It was like and then we were literally like best friends. I mean, I think we maybe fought like a few times in our life. Like, but what was great is like, if you can establish the dynamic of like, you guys have each other, meaning like there's a loyalty or something that's built in to know that like, this person has my back. This person knows things, you know, about me and internally, and they'll always be there for you,
mm-hmm.
even if they don't want to, or even if, you know, you're fighting or that kind of stuff. I mean, and we like had each other's backs. Like we were barely like the tattle on each other. It was more like, don't tell, or I won't tell if you don't tell.
Sakara, we know if you've heard this before, I'm telling you guys, it's fall. It's almost Thanksgiving. First of all, it's almost Halloween. So what I would say is it's a great time to do a little reset, a little Sakara reset right before the candied up holidays, the pie holidays, the ice cream, all of the foods that we're going to be eating in this fall, the heavier foods I feel in winter. Let's not forget that we need to always reset and clean our gut. Sakara, it's a nutrition company, focuses on the overall wellness, starting with what you eat. It's organic, ready-to-eat meals made with powerful plant-based ingredients, and they're designed to boost your energy, improve your digestion, get your skin glowing, and they are always creative with their menu. You've got chef-created, ready-to-eat breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, and they change weekly. So you know you're not going to get bored. You're always going to get something new. Thank God, because that's what we want. We want new things to eat all the time. So they will deliver to your door anywhere in the U.S. Please check out Sakara. We absolutely love this company.
And right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to sakara.com/sibling or enter code sibling at checkout. That's Sakara, sakara.com/sibling to get 20% off your first order. sakara.com/sibling. Public.com. This is a very cool website.
In my 30s began my sort of venturing into investing. And I have to say, when I first started to invest, I was like, I don't know what's going on. Now I have enjoyed learning a lot about it. But we all need a starting point. And so what I like about this company, Public.com, it makes it easy to start investing with any amount of money. So you can invest in $1,000 stocks with just $1 because they give you the ability to buy slices of shares. So you have more flexibility on what you can add to your portfolio. So it allows you to build your portfolio with the confidence in investing companies that you actually believe in.
Public.com gave me sort of an opportunity to dabble, you know, to learn, to feel it out. So use code Sibling when you download the app to let Public.com know you are coming from Sibling Revelry, and you will get up to $50 in free stock to get started in growing your portfolio. Valid for U.S. residents 18 and older, subject to account approval. See public.com/disclosures, not investment advice. So how do you feel about tattling? Our kids tattling.
I don't love tattling. Neither of us do. That's just a thing. I mean, unless it's very warranted or somebody's lying and the other kid is like, you know, going to be blamed or I don't know. You know what I mean? There's that. But like coming up and running and being like, mommy, you know, Bodhi hit me or so-and-so did this. It's like, I don't have time. I don't definitely don't want to teach tattling. I think there's also that fine line. It gets confusing because there's just a difference between tattling and kind of, you know, consciously seeing something and telling a teacher or, you know, a parent or something like that, that's not good behavior.
Right, but, right. It's the constant tattling.
Well, it's also the tattling to get, you know,
someone
in trouble or, you know, have the parent, you know.
Well, we've done that. Yeah, we've tried to instill that from a young age.
Yeah.
I mean, from when we're like, all right, you know, even if they are sort of right to maybe say it, it's like,
right, they get more in trouble for tattling. Right, or, like, crosses you know,
don't
it
tattling.
Out.
Stop. Yeah. Deal with it.
Yep.
Figure it out. I don't know. But don't tattle like that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know.
It's just not a great quality.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
I got tattled on like crazy.
Yeah. So that's why it's like a trigger for you.
It is, you know, but then when, you know, one of the kids tells me that the other one did something that it makes me pissed off, not at the tattler sometimes, like, why would you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's all tricky because it's a fine line of like, you know, my brother and I, it was like, you know, I got your back kind of feeling. So you almost have like a teammate in it. And I saw my brother as like, if he was getting in trouble, like I was like, oh, that sucks, you know? And I think he felt the same way. It's like, you're kind of, we established like compassion early on or like we're the kids, they're the parents. It felt like that sometimes too. Mm-hmm. Like we were in it together. Like if we were, you know, like getting in trouble. I mean, remember this story, but this goes to show how like early 80s or something it was, but my parents, we would go out to dinner with my parents and we always had to be on like really good behavior, manners, polite, yeah. All that stuff. Yeah. I grew up very, you know, much in a household where that was like priority number one. And it's just funny now looking back because when you're with your kids out at a restaurant, and they're annoying or they're fighting or they're doing something and you ask them to stop 100 times, you know, that feeling of losing your patience. And I was thinking about the skull. But well, I remember parents sent my brother and I out to the car. We were at the fort and back home in Springfield and outside of Long Meadow. And they sent us to the car and locked us in the back of the car and kept us out in the parking lot while they finished their meal. Yeah.
That's like, the fucking 80s for you. Now you'd be arrested for like,
oh my God, it was like child endangerment.
I know, totally.
And like child services.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, we were like fully punished. And this was like, we're sitting in the car. There's obviously no such thing as an iPhone or anything.
No, you just
and
then
we
had to nothing
like,
to do.
Yeah. Just like hanging out in the car. Anyways.
I know. Well, that's, you know, fear and bribery. I mean, I talked about that, I think, in the last one or one before or whatever. Like, that's what you revert to. You can read all the books in the world, but then that goes out the window and it's just fear and bribery. You know?
Yeah, fear and bribery and parenting. It's like, sums it up.
The Scala. There's an Italian restaurant called La Scala in LA, and they make an amazing chop salad, like famous. It's fucking incredible. Anyway, we're there with the kids, and they're much younger at the time. And they're just fucking crazy. I mean, they're rambunctious. They're in a booth. They're playing. And you're like, sit down, Jesus.
They're like putting bread in their water. Like, just like annoying each other.
Like, I just want to have a civil meal. And finally, I'm like, you guys, listen to me right now. All right. I brought you here because this is a restaurant that you do not mess around in. And I'm going to tell you why. What's the name of this place? And Wilder's like, La Scala. Because we went there all the time. Like, exactly. So I've been coming here since I was a kid as well. There is someone in the back that you do not want to see. And if you get rambunctious and you start messing around and start annoying people, this dude is going to find out about it. And trust me, you don't want to see him.
And then I kind of chime in with like, babe, don't scare them. Like, kids don't come back from the kitchen.
I get it, babe. I know. I'm just saying they need to know this now. They're old enough. So his name is Skull, because of course we're at La Scala.
Yeah.
So I just Skull, came to me. I'm like, his name is Skull. And you watch that door, because you don't want to see him. And they...
No, but then we showed him pictures. Remember, looked up.
Right.
They're like, what does he look like? Yeah. I said something like, don't show him what he looks like. So they get scared.
Yeah. And then of course I Google like crazy looking man.
Oh, like awful.
Yeah. Like no teeth, crazy looking man. I found this picture and I showed like, there he is. And they were just like horrified. And I swear to God, they were most well-behaved children you can imagine for that time.
It was the best.
Skull. And that lore lived on.
It lived on, because then what we did was, when we were at other restaurants, it was like, well, Skull's not here. And we were like, yeah, but every kitchen has a dungeon. Remember, it started with the dungeon? And like that word was just kind of like scary and mysterious. And so we'd be like, I don't know who's down in this dungeon, but I'm going to ask the waiter if somebody's here. Anyways,
oh my God.
So much of that shit.
Oh my God.
The knocking sound.
The knocking sound. Holy shit. That's how we used to get the kids to bed.
Yeah.
Because they'd be crazy. And we created
It was like a second wind of like insanity, like right before bed.
Yeah.
It was just two boys, right? So we didn't even have Rhea. It was like crazy, or if they were going crazy and not listening or any of that.
And then I would go into another room and go.
Or even like, just like with your hand down without them
looking. When they weren't looking, I'd just go.
Like sometimes like loud.
Yeah,
and,
and then sometimes
deep.
Soft. Like.
And they'd be like, what is that? And we'd be like, did you hear that?
That's the knocking sound, dude.
That's the knocking sound.
And they'd be like, whoa! And
it wasn't even a creature. It was just, the knocking sound. It was almost like a ghost or something.
Yeah, and so then that became for a while, like how we got him in bed. If they were being nuts, all of a sudden you'd hear, and they'd be like, oh my God. They'd like freak out.
Or you do it was like loud, and it was like bang, and it was kind of like bang, 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 and it would scare them, and they would just like run and jump into bed.
Oh God. So funny.
The knocking sound.
Parenting is so funny.
Bodhi brought that up recently. That's
why.
Yeah.
You do anything and everything you can.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, what's going
to
work?
Get it done. Yeah.
Shushu Birds. That was another one.
That was Rio.
That was Rio.
That wasn't the kids.
Oh no, because it was like, what makes the knocking sound? And we were like, Shushu Birds. Remember?
Yeah.
Like with Rio. Anyways, like insane, like.
Kid is like horrified. No, I know. It's always something. It's always something. Now you can't do it anymore. You know?
No, I know. That's what.
Especially with Wilder. You know, it's like, I'm taking this away.
I know. That's it. But they can, you know, manage when they're little, and you can't. It's almost like that scare technique shakes them a little in the moment, and then they get scared.
Yeah, no, I know it's true. Now Wilder, you know, I had that, you know, argument with him on the phone, and then of course I texted him, and I called him. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, I got so upset. I'm just frustrated. I miss you. I'm here, you know, dealing with school and his sister, you know, hurting his sister. Excuse me. But then we started texting, because basically I took away his computer, like his video gaming computer, for a week plus. Because here's how it went down real quick. I don't know if people are bored, but like, whatever, they're not. I mean, it's a story. They he did that to his sister. And I was like, all right, dude, you're done with your computer. Today, you're done. You're not playing tonight. After you do your homework, no, it's done. And he's like, what? I'm like, no, that's it. We catch him from abroad, from afar. We know that he played and just completely gave me the middle finger. And at that point, I was not angry. I was like, I just can't believe you did that, you know? So now I'm like, it's over, dude. 2 weeks. You're done. That's it. And by the way, I'm still sticking to that. Like, I've come home and we're home. And he's like, I know. I'm like, dude, I'm serious.
But I didn't know you went for 2 weeks. Wow.
I'll turn into one, I'm sure. Okay. I am a bit of a pushover, too, sometimes. So then we just started texting. And I was like, you completely disrespected me, you know. I said, this sucks. And he goes, taking stuff isn't going to solve anything, though, Dad. It just makes me and the other kids more mad. It doesn't make anything better. Like, think how many times have you taken something away and think it's going to solve the problem. And then later on, another one happens and you take something away. It just keeps repeating itself over and over again. It makes the kid even more angry and annoyed than they already are. You just ruined my whole entire week. And I said, okay. I said, so but dramatic. You ruined your entire week, not me. And he goes, but it's your choice. So yes, it's you. And I said, you made the choice to go against me. Yeah. It was one night that turned into a lot more. And he goes, games are my happy place, Dad. When I'm stressed or angry, getting and talking with my friends, you made everything I enjoy gone. I said, you made it gone, pal. You made the choice to say whatever. I'm going to play anyway, even though my dad said not to. And then you lied to me again. Just now, when I asked you if you were playing, it's about trust, man. I know you understand this. Yeah, and I played one round and it was short. After finishing my homework after 2 hours while Dylan and Ben were here and I got off and you called me. And okay, yes, I lied, but that's the first time I've lied in so long. Do you know how much other kids lie to their parents? It's crazy. Time, it's crazy time after one little lie about playing one match of a video game that you're taking away. It just doesn't make sense.
I love the part of like, I haven't lied in so long.
I know.
I do lie. Yeah. I just haven't done it in a while. Yeah.
And I said, yeah, but you're not other kids and I'm not other parents. You made the choice to test me and it didn't work out for you. I said, we'll have a talk when I get home. But buddy, as you get older and start going out to parties and driving, I have to be able to trust you. I have to believe what you tell me. It's so important. I will never be mad at you when you tell me the truth, ever. I know, Dad, but if I don't tell the truth once, you don't have to get all crazy. And these insane punishments, they're extreme. And I never lie. Like 99% of the time, I never lie. And the one time I did, which was now, you go to the worst punishment.
The worst punishment.
And I said, dude, it was one night. I mean, I just banned him for one night. And then he screwed up the whole thing. Anyway, it goes on. But it's just... It's
welcome
funny.
To the world of teenagers.
And then he goes, if I was the parent, I would be like, okay, well, if you really only played that long and got off, then you're good. Just don't play the rest of the night.
It's amazing.
Oh, it's so funny. I just love it. You know, I said, he goes, you gain nothing by punishing me like this you gain nothing by punishing me like this. Nothing at all, except your son being mad at you.
That's so funny.
It's amazing.
Except your son being mad at you.
And then he goes, and again, your punishments are too much. Even all my friends agree. They're a little too much.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
It's funny.
I know. So there's a little window into my text exchange with the boy, with Wilder.
Their 14-year-old.
I know.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I feel like lies, I mean, you know, all kids lie. Like you always say, like, I set the bar too high, you know, for like my expectations of them, mm-hmm. which I think sometimes they are, but I'm also realistic. I know we all, you know, lie to our parents and get away with things. And there is like a level of lying, you know, something like that. It's like, all right. not the biggest deal, but it's setting the tone for lying. Just meaning like it's, if it's a small one and you get caught and it's a big one that you don't, like, or vice versa, it doesn't really matter. It's mm-hmm. more just that, like, why waste with like a stupid thing like that? Because then your trust is gone, whether it's big or
little.
Well,
that's the thing. That's why I said to him, I didn't read the whole thing. I pretty much read the whole thing. I don't know if you're going to hear the full unedited version or not. And that's based on Allison. But, you know, I said to him, I said, whether it's 15 minutes or 4 hours, it doesn't matter. You blatantly, like, basically gave me the middle finger. You know, we had this whole conversation. I said, dude, no, you're done for the night. And then, boom, you're back on. That is a bigger issue. Not the actual doing, but the breaking of the trust. And I get kids lie. They do. It's normal. But how about this? Be better at it. Don't get caught so easily. We all tell little white lies, you know, when we were kids. We all try to get shit past our parents. Even you, in the most beautiful, idyllic lifestyle, you were still...
Of course.
Throwing a party and trying to get shit past your parents. Normal. But when I catch you... It breaks the trust, you know, because when bigger things, I want to be able to believe you and not be skeptical of mm-hmm. my own children, you know. And there are some lies that you probably let go. Like Kurt probably and my mom probably knew of things that I was doing, but being like, you know what, let him do his thing. You know, I know he's bullshitting me, but I can't hold my tongue.
No.
And I'm a sleuth. I'm like, I'm gonna find out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it gets complicated. They're in this like tweener age. They're too old.
What are you doing?
I'm doing a little show called Sibling Revelry with... Thanks for visiting the show. How are you?
Good. Been a little busy, a little crazy. But,
good, you know, good.
Good. Well, we can't wait to get back at it.
I know. We miss you over here.
Been a wonderful substitute. Alrighty.
All right. Love you. Have fun when you come back. All right. She left. Wow. A little guest appearance from Kate Gary Hudson. Mm-hmm. Yes, Gary is her middle name, folks. Garry. That was fun.
I know.
Pill Club. Do you need to renew your birth control prescription? Do you want to switch your birth control? Do you want to maybe try it for the first time? So whether you know what brand you want or you want help finding the best option, the Pill Club medical team has your back completely. The Pill Club, it's a birth control subscription prescribed by a medical professional and delivered straight to your door for free. I encourage women who are not looking to get pregnant to please either protect yourself or get on some birth control.
The brands, you ask, the different brands that they carry. Well, the Pill Club carries over 120 FDA-approved brands. Most brands of birth control are free with insurance or Medicaid. Otherwise, prices start as low as $7 per month without insurance. And what's more is their licensed medical team is just a text away to give you the best reproductive health care. So you're not on your own. You know, you can actually talk to a licensed professional. Skip the office visit. Skip the waiting in line at the pharmacy and join the club. So right now, when you go to thepillclub.com/sibling, the Pill Club is offering a $10 donation to bedsider.org for every Sibling Revelry listener who becomes a patient. So your donation will help low-income individuals get access to birth control through bedsider.org. That's pillclub.com/sibling to get your first birth control care package and donate, you guys, to help more women in need of affordable birth control. And remember, thepillclub.com/sibling, you must use the link to make a donation. Do it. Get on it.
Oak Essentials. So I love this product. It comes to us from actually someone I like very much. Her name is Jenny Kane. She has an incredible brand, and she created a product line for skincare. It's for every age. It's a very balanced, very clean foundational skincare for everyone. I just received this and I've been using it. And I have to say already one of my favorite SKUs in the line is the Restorative Balm. I think it's fantastic. It's non-GMO, organic, wherever it's possible, always free from synthetic fragrances, silicones, colorants, sulfates, phthalates, parabens, PEGs, petroleum, mineral oil, and nanoparticles. Seriously, though, I really do love this product. Anything that's sort of clean and absorbs beautifully is something that I love spreading the word about. So Oak Essentials, you'll love it.
Whether you're starting from scratch or if you're filling in the gaps, Oak Essentials makes skincare one less thing to worry about. So reveal your best skin with Oak Essentials. At oakessentials.com, you can purchase the entire five-step routine for $195 or try your first product for 15% off when you use code SIBLING at checkout. That's OAKESSENTIALS.com. Promo code SIBLING. Anyway, yeah, I mean, you know, all we have is trust in any relationship, really. And you can be wary of that trust that happens. You can break trust and have to earn it back. I know about that. And same with your kids, you know? I mean, especially when they break it, when there's a big break of trust. But you have to have faith, too, that you're going to send them out into the world and they're going to do the right thing, or at least
totally
have it in their head. And
one thing I'll say, like, if thinking back on it, because I of course, you know, lied and did stuff in high school and all that, but like relatively, I was so scared of getting caught and afraid to like disappoint my parents. So I look back because I'm always like, what did my parents do? Like, to kind of create that or establish that relationship, like why I cared what my parents thought, why I didn't want to rebel against them. And, you know, I think that's an interesting take, because if you establish, you know, too much kind of, you know, fear and, you know, strict rules and this and that, I do think that that can lead to rebellion. I mean, this is just a total general statement, but, and then if you're too lenient and like just best friends and, you know, oh, this and that, they get away with, you know, kind of too much. And then there's almost like a lack of even
guidance
or caring what you think. Cause if you kind of show them that, like, you know, so there's that fine line, I think, of creating, you know, trust, open, you know, communication, them wanting to be around and liking you a little bit, not being best friends, but like liking you enough to kind of want to respect you. Like my parents were really fun and cool and they got stuff and we could talk about things. And this, there was a very open communication and we had fun together. We did stuff together, but when it came to certain things, they were super strict. And that was grades. And I was a terrible student, so that didn't go over too well.
Yeah, but grades are relative. But like, what does a letter mean? It's what we talk about.
No. But that's how you and I think. But I'm saying to my parents when I was growing up, report cards and grades were, and effort and all that kind of stuff were very important. And like, you know, us, it wasn't like you just have to get A's. It was like, are you putting in the effort? Are you doing the best you can? You did the best you possibly could and you got a C. Okay, that's great. They were like that, but they just knew that I wasn't. I was like, you know, flirting with boys and, you know, being on the phone or doing whatever I was doing. I wasn't giving it my all. And so that was a big one. Manners, big one for my parents, that kind of stuff. And like honesty.
I mean, that's pretty much how we do it. Even with our kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. I'm just saying there was like a few things.
Manners is big. I don't need some like crazy mannered kid where it's like, you know, insane. But yeah, I mean, pleases and thank yous, of course. My biggest thing is engaging.
Yes, engaging.
What I hate is when an adult will talk to a kid or my kid even at times, and they just don't engage and they're looking away and they're like, that makes
me, one word,
that makes me crazy. I'm like, no. When someone is talking to you, you look them in the face. And even if it's for 10 seconds, you are engaging that human being and then you can move on. Even if you're faking it, just
it's just
engage.
It's respect.
It's respect. Across the board. Exactly.
So there's respect for us. There's respect for your siblings. You know, there's respect for elders, teachers, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Well, it also reflects, it's a selfish thing too, because it reflects on us.
And that's another one. That's what my parents used to always say too. It was like, you know, if we had a party or something, they're like, you're putting us in danger, you know, or if I got caught doing something that reflects badly on us, mm-hmm. you know, so it was a lot of that, but it wasn't all that mattered, right? So meaning like, it was, I felt that and I believed it
mm-hmm.
rather than that feeling like a threat or like, well, that's all that you care about. Or, you know, it's almost like when things are too extreme, no matter what they are on either end of the pendulum, it can be a little too much.
Your dad was like, listen, pal, the Bartlett name is a very important name. You do not do anything to smear the Bartlett name. You understand me? You understand me, pal?
Huh? Hmm? Right.
We've worked hard on this name. We came over on the fucking Mayflower, pal.
Oh my God.
On the fucking Mayflower. You did, right?
No.
I thought your dad's like relatives or ancestors.
I thought you meant me.
Yeah, maybe like a Mayflower semi truck.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I think some distant relatives.
Yeah.
We're on there. We've got like some certificate or something.
I know. Man, you're like the first settler.
Yeah. Craziness. But anyways, that's my point. It's almost like there were the parents that you kind of want to get away with everything from, or you think you can. And then there's the parents that were just too strict. So it was like always being scared. I mean, it's just a fine line of balance with everything, I think. And then also, it goes back to even, you know, with little kids, toddlers, whatever, follow through. Meaning,
yeah,
it's like if you yell at everything or you get mad at everything, there's nothing clear there for them. It's mm-hmm. just a big blur of kind of no's and can't do's. And it's almost like, all right, it's a gray area.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're cool with most things, but then you lose your shit on one or two important things, they really know the difference mm-hmm. of what's important, where not to, you know, push the boundaries or whatever.
Yeah.
And then also just, it's the hardest thing, I think, in parenting, or one of them. Like, that was a big general statement, but I think it's really hard to stick to your word and follow through because usually
it fucks with you.
It fucks with you.
Yeah.
So you're suffering.
Your world
screws up your day, screws up your week, whatever it might be. So that's, I think, why most parents are like, I'm just going to give in because easier for me.
Well, I don't know if we've talked about it on the show, but like, you know, you were the queen of that for a while, and you did one threat that was so funny. You remember? We've talked about it before.
I think.
It was like
so
late
extreme.
It was like late November, early December. And the kids are being nuts and whatever. And Aaron, you know, just snaps, loses it. And she's screaming. And she's like, if you don't get your ass is in the seat or whatever it is, you know, if you don't do this, then there's going to be no Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And I look over and I'm like, I think I was in the passenger seat. And I'm like, what do you mean there's going to be no Christmas? Like, we can't follow through with no Christmas. That's not a possibility. Like, what? How do we this? Like,
I know. I know. So that was definitely a stretch. I was just so angry. And there are those things in the moment, and then you got to take it back. But I will say, like, a couple people that I know, one is Robin Berman, who's an author, and she wrote this incredible book. I got to remember the name, on parenting. It's kind of like a must have, and she talks about follow through because what I think is so interesting about it, speaking about trust, and I'm probably going to chop this all up, but it's in a weird way, kids don't realize it, but subconsciously when you do follow through or you don't, it creates trust. Mm-hmm. So meaning if you follow through and you stick by your word, good or bad, obviously most of the time it's bad when you're punishing, but it's trust. It's earning trust that like you, when you say something, you mean it. and that will kind of trickle down into other areas. Whereas if you don't, you know, and you kind of give in, or you, you know, kids are smart. They know that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it's literally kind of messing up with them just in trust, mm-hmm. in the long run, mm-hmm. the bigger picture, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly how it was said, but.
Is she the one who is it the Disneyland story?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Where they drove all the way there, yep. and then they're like, oh, fuck it. Like, we got to turn around.
Yelling at the kids, doing with it. And they threatened, they were on their way to Disneyland, and they threatened to leave and not go to Disneyland. And the kids, I think at one point in the story, it was really like, you're not going to turn around now, right. or, you know, something right, like, right. They're like the no third way. Time or one of those. And she looked at the husband. I mean, they'd like taken off the day from work, bought the tickets and everything.
God.
And they turned around and left.
That's gnarly.
And she says, the daughter came to this like seminar that I was at, grown up, like college graduate, and told the story. And she said, we were in so much shock. Like, no one's talked the whole entire way back. She's like, I think I cried and the whole thing. She's like, but it was like a defining moment
our
family
huge.
Dynamic because they were like, holy shit. A, they mean business. B, we got to respect them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it works in the long run. And then, you know, my bestie, Angie, when she had her little son, she took away Halloween mm-hmm, when Ollie was little. And it was like totally, you know, huge
yeah,
for her.
I
and, like, and she was like heartbroken. She was crying. She's like, I have to follow through, but it's like devastating. But, you know, it was a big one. And I just remember being like, wow, you're braver than me.
I know.
And it was awesome. I mean, they just, you know, there's those defining moments that do kind of create whatever it might be in mm-hmm. the long term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't realize it.
All right, we got to wrap it up. I got to watch the Dodgers game, but
okay.
I love you, and I think this is our last podcast on
for a
sibling
minute?
Revelry.
Okay.
No, forever.
Well, I hope I come back. Maybe I'll come back.
No, this is what I'm saying. Like,
no, I know that, but I'm saying, yeah.
I'm going to do our own. I have fun. I've had fun with you
so
on this
fun.
Run.
And we have some great ideas too, by the way.
Yeah,
fun
what we've been doing
do
in the last
it.
However many episodes we've done is very non-structured and sort of... What the hell was that?
Sorry.
I guess, are you watching Instagram while
I'm trying to wrap this up? No, I just got sent something and I saw it and it was like played loud music. Jackie just sent me something on my text.
So you decided to look at the text from Jackie. Hold on. And she sent you a video, and in the middle of my outro, you just decided to push play.
I honestly wasn't, I didn't mean to, but then I saw it and I was like, I gotta click on it.
Wow, that's crazy.
You were like wrapping up, you were talking.
Holy shit. Okay, well, you're gonna hear more of those interruptions. We're trying to come up with a name.
We have a couple good ones.
Yeah, I like mine, but. I don't know. We'll see. And I don't know. Well, thanks for filling in.
I love it.
And
I want to get more audience involvement because I think that's super fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, right before you interrupted me with that video,
mm-hmm.
I was saying that.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. What I'm saying is that it was very unstructured and fly by the seat of your pants, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I love.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're going to have a little bit more structure. Not crazy.
Yeah, we're
going to
meet in the middle.
Yeah, I feel like it's like weekly check-in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but maybe like, just more of like a specific topic
getting more into detailed topics. Mainly you and I, but having some guests on when mm-hmm. they really matter mm-hmm. or mean something to
Fun
us.
Fun surprise guests, yeah.
Yeah, and then having some sort of, you know, game or something that's fun in the middle or the end.
Yeah, we have a couple good
listener
ideas.
Engagement. Maybe even like hotline stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe some live stuff.
Yeah.
You know, where we're actually having conversations with people. Anyway, I love you.
Thank you
for filling in.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson and Oliver Hudson.
Producer is Allison Bresnik.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.
If you want to show us some love, rate the show and leave us a review.
This show is powered by Simplecast.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.